Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina, and it's Friday. My name is Mark Shiver, and just really pumped because school choice is something that we've been talking about a lot here at the Civitas Institute. And next week, on Thursday, the National School Choice Week will be celebrated by the Civitas folks and the North Carolina Parents for Educational Freedom coming together for a nice luncheon that you can attend at the Holiday Inn Raleigh downtown. And PEFNC is the fine folks at the Parents for Educational Freedom. And we're going to talk with Brian, their communications guy, Brian Jottis, here in just a few minutes. But wanted to really promote this event. You can go to nccivitas.org and hit the events button there at the top and sign up and register. We've already got quite a few folks that will be coming. And I'll just read this to you. Join Civitas and Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina for a celebration of school choice. And next week is National School Choice Week. There will be a luncheon with special polling results on issues related to education choice. There will be some parents there giving testimonies about school choice. And there will also be a panel discussion with a few experts talking school choice and the North Carolina legislature. So this is not something that you want to miss. If you have any desire at all to learn more about school choice, or maybe you're a parent and you're thinking, do I need to, you know, look at some of the options that are there, alternatives to traditional public schools? This is a great way. And it's lunch. So it's not like, yeah, you got to come out at 8 o'clock at night. It's a 3-hour boring presentation. No, this is going to be good stuff, folks. So I encourage you to attend and check it out. Go to nccivitas.org. And at the top there, you can just click on the little events button like I just did. And there you go. So check it out. We're going to be talking, as I said, with the folks from Parents for Educational Freedom here in North Carolina. Before we do that, I just wanted to say that, you know, Dr. June Atkinson, she was the superintendent of public instruction for a long time. And she made a comment recently. And we talked with Dr. Bob Lipke about that yesterday. And if you missed that podcast, go ahead and download it, because Dr. Bob Lipke is always excellent, has a lot of great education policy insight. But Dr. Atkinson said that school choice is really a euphemism. It means we're going to educate some children and forget about the others. And I don't know what her intent was in saying that. And I have no bone to pick with June Atkinson. She's always been very nice to me. And I think that she really believes what she believes strongly. In other words, she's somebody who, you know, would identify themselves as a progressive, and she believes in traditional public schools, believes in spending a lot of money, and yet the results under her tenure, I don't know, you know, I don't think the state has done as well as it could have. And I think that she sees that folks wanting opportunities other than traditional public schools for their kids, you know, might be kind of an offense to her. I don't know that, but when you're so married to one idea, and that is traditional public schools, well, anything else, you know, you're going to come out against it. And she certainly did. She said, school choice is a euphemism, and it means that we'll educate some children and forget about the others. Now, Dr. Bob Lipke wrote, and you can read this at nccivitas.org, he wrote about her statement, and he said basically, that's a smear with veiled racist overtones and no basis in fact. And I would have to agree with that. Basically, what you're saying is, you know, the poor, underprivileged, maybe African-Americans or whatever demographic, they're going to be left behind. School choice is not for them. Well, that's just not true. Because, folks, the demand for school choice in North Carolina is exploding, and it's exploding across all demographics. And it doesn't matter what ethnicity someone is. Parents, by and large, want what's best for their kids. And so I think Dr. Atkinson may need to rethink her comment, or at least her view on school choice. But anyway, we're going to talk with Brian here, and really excited about this, excited about the luncheon, and hope to see you there this coming Thursday. We'll talk more about that as that day draws near. So want to remind you again, you can find us on Twitter at What Matters NC and Facebook facebook.com/ What Matters NC. Find us there. Like our page. Tell your friends and family all about the show. We're gaining new listeners, and we just really are excited about that because, folks, it's going to get wild and woolly here. You know that. Donald Trump and the new president, the General Assembly coming back in a few days with Roy Cooper as governor. It's going to be wide open for the next several months. So you'll want to stay informed and up to date. And the best way to do that is by subscribing to the podcast, What Matters in North Carolina, either in the iTunes Store or Google Play Stores. You can go to freedomactionnetwork.com also and find us there and listen every day. Well, let's talk some school choice here on What Matters in North Carolina. Well, National School Choice Week is coming up next week, and here to talk with us about that is Brian Jottis. He is the Vice President of Communications and Outreach for Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina. Brian, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you, Mark. Appreciate you having us.
Now, a few months ago, we had Daryl Allison on, the president of your organization, had just a really wonderful time with him, and we're looking forward to talking with you now because, Brian, school choice in North Carolina is, the demand is just exploding.
Well, that's absolutely right, Mark, and obviously big shoes to fill, being the one to come on after Daryl, who's been doing amazing work here in North Carolina. Really for the last, 10 to 11 years. And I think you're right. I mean, since the Opportunity Scholarship Program was launched, we have seen, more growth for school choice across the state. And it's not just on the Opportunity Scholarship side. I mean, there are a vast array of options that we're lucky enough to have here in North Carolina. But take that, that program, for example, since launching in 2014, I mean, you're looking at nearly 24,000 families applying for scholarships.
Wow.
Our phone rings on a daily basis with folks looking for more information about how they apply. You also have the state legislature standing up and ensuring there's funding for the program over the next 10 years. You know, hopefully that gives some families some assurance that it's going to be here to stay for a long time. And when you talk about demand and growth and demand for parental school choice, you could take a guess as to where you think those pockets of the state where we see that big uptick. Obviously, you think Wake and Mecklenburg counties, right?
Yeah.
We're also seeing amazing growth in Cumberland County. More applicants for that scholarship program, more scholarships awarded this year in Cumberland County than Wake and Meck, which is really cool. And that shows that when parents are educated on it, when they know their options, you get a chance to empower them to make these choices, it's going to lead to success.
Well, that's incredible. I did not know that about Cumberland County, but right. You're right. I know that a few months ago, there was a big headline in the News and Observer here in Raleigh where talking about how the demand for school choice was actually outpacing local schools here in Wake County. And you're right. It's not just Opportunity Scholarships, but
right.
It's charter schools. It's home schools. Parents really are being aggressive in making sure that their kids get the best education possible.
Well, that's spot on, Mark. I mean, I think it's an exciting time for parental school choice across the state. You know, as we head into National School Choice Week, I think it's only fitting, like you mentioned, you can take a look at all the different options. We want to celebrate all those parental school choice options and also look to them as a complement to the traditional public school system. So you take public charters, private schools, homeschools. I think North Carolina families are looking for alternative ways to educate their child. We believe it's in the best interest of those children to have their families involved in making those decisions. But when you talk about those choices, I mean, look at public charter schools, for example. In 2011, we lifted the cap on public charter schools. Since then, nearly a 70% growth in public charters. Those schools, often the first kind of line of option in rural areas around the state, where the traditional public school maybe is the only game in town. You know, on the private school side, if you look at the upcoming school year, 2017-2018, it'll be the fourth year for the program, which allows low-income families to apply for those private school scholarships for up to a $4,200 scholarship. That program, thanks to the leadership in the legislature, has some assurance to the tune of $145 million over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And upwards of 36,000 kids are going to get a chance to be on the program. And then, of course, you know, you talked about some of those other options. You know, there's the disabilities grant that allows families to gain some valuable resources. And then we also have a huge number of families in the state who are exercising the homeschool option. You know, over 118,000 kids are being educated in homeschools. That's the highest percentage of students educated in non-traditional methods. So I think there's a pretty high demand for educational options and for parental school choice around the state. And we're seeing it in that array of options right now.
Brian, not to be negative, but if we were to be honest and really try to put a finger on why the demand for school choice is exploding in North Carolina, is it as simple as being negative and saying the traditional public schools are just not getting it done? Or is there a nicer way to explain the popularity of school choice?
Well, I mean, I look at it this way, Mark. Families and parents make choices all the time. We make choices on where we go to church. We make choices on where we shop for groceries. We make choices every single day. That should be no different when we talk about educating our children. And who knows best about what those choices should look like than a parent and really and then an involved parent in their child's life. And we look at it from that standpoint. Yes, there are numerous families across our state who are stuck in a traditional public school that might not be the best fit for their kid. And unfortunately, it's because they're born into a zip code they can't choose, and sometimes they're hit with financial measures that they can't control, and they will try their hardest to do what they can that's best for their children. What we're saying is families deserve to have those options. Families deserve to know what those options are. That's what we do every day, is to ensure that families across our state know what their array of options are and how they can best explore those. But I think it's a combination. I think it's a... it's a want and a desire to have what's best for their kids. And it is, look, if this system is not working for us, we should have the ability to look for something better. It is in our state constitution.
Yeah.
That children have access to that education. It is written there. And families are speaking up and saying, we just want to have a voice in that. That's all they're asking for.
Our guest, Brian Jottis, with the Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina. And I used to work down at the General Assembly, Brian, and I would sometimes find myself looking over at the building that houses the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction. And I would just kind of ponder in my mind the billions of dollars that have been spent on traditional public schools, K through 12 here in North Carolina, and wonder what in the world, when I hear things at Senate committee meetings like the biggest problem universities and community colleges are facing is having to teach incoming freshmen remedial reading. And it makes myself, you know, it made me scratch myself, my head and wonder what in the world's going on with all the billions of dollars that's being spent. It really baffles me that, you know, kids can't read when they get to college. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Right. Well, it's a good point. And it doesn't just happen here in North Carolina. This is an issue that, you know, that happens across the country, in states across the United States. I mean, I think what you have to look at is what ultimately is best for that child. And when you look at, let's take the Opportunity Scholarship Program, for example, this is not something where it's, you know, a check is written and it's just given directly to that private school. This is the ability for those taxpayer dollars to then follow that exact child. The money follows the child. And in most cases, if you look at what it costs to educate a child in a traditional public school, it is a fraction of that in what is given through the scholarship program. $4,200 is a lot less than what it costs to educate a child in a traditional public school. Now, that said, there are teachers and educators across our state that are doing the Lord's work and are doing incredible work educating children in public schools in the traditional public school setting. What we're saying is, if a family feels like that's not the best option for them, and a program like the Opportunity Scholarship Program is available for them to then take that $4,200 and let it follow their child to a school they feel would be a better setting, we want that to be an option that's on the table.
Brian, you mentioned funding, and one of the things that people who are opposed to opportunity scholarships and school choice in North Carolina, one of the things they say is that that money is taking money away from traditional public schools, but that's really not the case.
Well, it's really not, because if that child is not in that school, that money isn't there to begin with. So it's not really the case. And what we're saying is that, you know, in this case, the money follows that child. Those dollars are connected directly to that student. It's not about the schools. It's about what's best for that child. That's what we advocate for here. And you're right. That is not the case. If that child were not enrolled in that school, those tax dollars should not be allocated to that school to educate them. So if that child were to then, you know, be in a different school setting, we're saying that money should be able to follow the child. And again, what's most important here, Mark? What's best for the child? What's best for that student to get the best opportunity possible? That's what we advocate for here at PS&C.
Well, it was a point that I spoke yesterday with Dr. Bob Lipke of the Civitas Institute, and you guys and Civitas are teaming up to put together a luncheon next week, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I mentioned to him that the people who are opposed to school choice tend to be those on the left, not to stereotype, but those who favor, you know, big government spending and all of that. And it's funny to me how out of one side of their mouth, they're all about the kids, you know, we got to do what's best for the kids. And the other side of their mouth, oh, no, we can't have school choice, even though school choice may be what's best for the kids. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy there.
Well, and the other part, too, is, you know, sometimes they say, you know, we're educating children, we're forgetting about others. I'd say that school choice means we'll get to educate children, and we can't forget about those. Forgetting about children, forgetting about them is leaving them stuck in a failing school system that doesn't allow their parents to make a choice for their education because they were born in that wrong zip code or because they can't afford a chance at a quality education.
Yeah.
It's easy to be against parental school choice when you have the means to do something about it for your own kids, for example. But think about the single parent who works two jobs, try as they might, can't afford their child to, you know, to send their kid to the private school that they might think is best fit for their educational need that's right down the street. That's who we're fighting for here. We want to ensure that those families aren't forgotten, that every kid in the state gets a chance at the education that best fits their needs.
You sort of touched on this a little bit, but I want to go ahead and just hit it head on. Former superintendent of public instruction, June Atkinson, Dr. Atkinson said that school choice is really a euphemism, and what it really means is that we will educate some children and forget about the others. And Bob Lipke was telling me yesterday, he wrote an article at civitas.org, and he says, quote, "This is a smear with veiled racist overtones and no basis in fact." So it does seem to me, if you kind of read between the lines, that what you said in your previous answer was what Dr. Atkinson and others who are opposed to parental school choice, that they kind of want to play the card that says, well, you know, this is racist. You know, we're going to forget about certain kids, whether it be because of their ethnicity or their place in life or their income. And I really don't see that as accurate, Brian, because African Americans, every demographic in North Carolina is busting at the seams when it comes to school choice. I mean, you know, it's not a white or a black thing. I mean, African Americans are just as interested in school choice as anybody else. And so I think what it comes down to, if people were honest, you know, as you have been saying, it's about the parents wanting what's best for their kids.
That's exactly right, Mark. And that really at the heart of it is the argument. I mean, look, Dr. Atkinson is entitled to her opinion. She has made it very clear since leaving office where she comes down on parental school choice. She's entitled to that. But to say that school choice means that we will educate some and forget others just isn't true. And your assertion that parental school choice is popular across the state is very accurate. You know, one of the pieces to that luncheon that we'll be co-hosting with Civitas next week in celebration of National School Choice Week will be to show folks what the temperature for school choice is across our state. We released a poll this July that polled African-American voters and families around the state about parental school choice, vast majority in favor of it, and a huge number of folks saying if they knew where their legislator stood on it, it would change their opinion when they went to the ballot box.
Wow.
So to your point, this is not a black or white issue. This is a child issue.
Yeah.
This is about educating those children. This is ensuring that every child in the state gets access to a quality education, regardless of their lot in life. And this is about ensuring that those families get that chance. We cannot forget about some. We must ensure that we're working hard for all. And that is ensuring that our traditional public schools are strong, as well as parental school choice options. We need strong public schools. We need strong public charter schools, strong private schools, families with the need to be on the disability grant to have those resources, strong families educating their children at home. All of that must be strong to ensure that our communities are in the best spot. It's not just about one over the other. It's about ensuring that all are covered, from traditional public all the way through the other options.
Brian, turning our attention away from just singularly looking at North Carolina for one moment, obviously, today, Donald Trump, the new president of the United States, his nominee of Betsy DeVos to be the education secretary and lead the Department of Education. She has apparently some strong positive feelings about school choice. And is that encouraging to you that there will be an advocate at the federal level as well for school choice?
I think so, and if you look at her life's work, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who has dedicated more time and treasure to ensuring that kids around our country have had access to quality educational options. Ms. DeVos, who I've known, I've had the pleasure to know for quite a few years and has been a friend to our organization and to Parental School Choice in North Carolina, which should be pointed out to folks listening today. She has dedicated, again, that time and that treasure to fight for those options. You can look at her resume and see the quality work she's done to promote public charters in her home state of Michigan. She has tirelessly fought for educational options through scholarship programs, much like the Opportunity Scholarship Program here in North Carolina. She's fought for those options around the state and around this country. So I think that is very optimistic. And I also think that Mrs. DeVos is a bit of a break from the norm.
Yeah.
And look, we have been doing things the same way for a long time, and we've had very, very good education secretaries, but many of them have had very similar backgrounds. And Mrs. DeVos brings a different background. And maybe at this point in time, we need something a little bit different to shake up the way things are going. And the education establishment might not like that, but it is the reality. And again, she's carrying the voice of families around the country who are saying the same thing we are here. Let us know what our options are, and let us make the best decision for our children as we see fit.
And as we wind up our time together here, Brian, I really appreciate you being our guest here. What do you at Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina, I know that you have a mission to inform parents of the benefits of school choice and having options, but practically speaking, take us through a normal day at your organization. How do you hit how do you go about doing what it is that your mission statement says?
Well, I mean, it really is our goal to ensure that families across our state are empowered to make those decisions and know what they are. So our team is in constant contact with parents around the state. When I say our phone rings daily, fielding calls from parents, that's not an exaggeration. And we have an incredible outreach team around the state who are really there in specific regions around our state, ensuring families know what those options are and can make the best decision. So it is. It's educating them on all their vast array of decisions. And then I'll give you an example. You know, February 1st opened the application period for the Opportunity Scholarship Program. That is a very busy time, obviously, for our organization to, one, ensure that families are reapplying. They're already on the program. And two, going out and finding new families around the state who could benefit and could apply for this program. So our organization is going to be launching efforts to ensure that they're up to speed on that through marketing efforts. We'll be hosting this year regional meetings around the state to better educate and inform families for the Opportunity Scholarship enrollment. You know, I mentioned we do some pretty extensive marketing efforts. We have a website that's set up for families to visit. And if you don't mind me giving it a plug.
No, go right ahead.
It's schoolchoicenorthcarolina.com. So families can visit that website, find out if they're eligible, and then on February 1st, they can start applying for the program. Last year, we had a pretty popular name, Antoine Jameson, Tar Heel Great, was a part of those marketing efforts. I can't tell you just yet who is going to be a part of it this year, but we've got two marquee North Carolina-based athletes who will be the face of some of those marketing efforts, and so that'll be coming out in the next 2 weeks. So it's an exciting time. This month really kicks off what will be a busy year for our organization, ensuring that families know about those options, apply where needed. And then also, we hear from them daily on just their concerns and areas where we can, help make some improvements in education across the state. So we're constantly doing that work through our network as well. It'll be a busy 2017. We're excited about it. We're looking forward to it. And again, the best part, of our job is being able to interact with those parents and help make a positive impact in their life.
Well, it's awesome, the work that you do. And you're going to be teaming up with the Civitas Institute in celebration and recognition of National School Choice Week. Next week, there is a luncheon that will be at the Holiday Inn Raleigh downtown from 11:30 to 1:30. On Thursday, and I know that you are excited. I know we here at Civitas are excited about this event.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to be great. Next week really is, for folks who don't know much about National School Choice Week, it really is a celebration. It is a national celebration about parental school choice. We're excited for, a multitude of actually events we're going to have here in North Carolina. But one of those marquee events is going to be the luncheon on Thursday downtown. I know there's going to be some polling that's going to be released that shows where, families around our state fall on parental school choice. We're excited to welcome some parents to the event to share their testimonials about how parental school choice has helped benefit their lives. And then we're going to host a panel with some really bright education policy experts and folks in that space that are going to be able to give everybody kind of a sense of where we're at and where we're able to go. So we're really excited about it. But, our organization is also going to be traveling the state that week. We'll be in Asheville. We'll be in Wilmington. We'll be in Raleigh. We'll be up in Halifax. We're going to be in loads of different areas.
Wow.
Accelerating parental school choice around the state. Because, again, it's not just a Raleigh thing. It's happening across the state. From the coast to the mountains, parental school choice is growing in demand. And we're looking forward to a great week of celebrating it here in North Carolina.
Well, I will look forward, hopefully, to seeing you on Thursday and at the School Choice Luncheon. And folks can go to nccivitas.org and click on the events button there and register for that. And it's going to be a great event. Both organizations, Civitas and Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina, doing really a fine job in spreading the word about school choice and how important that it is to our kids here in the state. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest on What Matters in North Carolina, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Mark, appreciate you having us, and we will talk again soon.
Great. Thank you very much, sir. Boy, Brian's pumped up, isn't he? I tell you, his enthusiasm is contagious, and I have not met Brian yet. Looking forward to meeting him in a few days at the School Choice Luncheon. And again, next week, National School Choice Week, and we'll be celebrating here at Civitas and the Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina by co-hosting this luncheon on Thursday from 11:30 to 1:30 at the downtown Holiday Inn in Raleigh. So go to nccivitas.org for more information and to register. We really appreciate you listening to the podcast today and would really appreciate it if you told your friends and family, get the word out, because we're doing our best here to bring you good stuff, you know, good content. You know, the folks that drive internet activity, they say content is king. Well, I don't think you'll find any better content on a podcast of this nature, dealing with state government, federal government, public policy, and all of that. Well, I just don't think you'll find it anywhere. And it's a privilege to be able to bring you the guests and the information that we do every single day here on What Matters in North Carolina. I hope you have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again real soon. Thanks for listening to What Matters in North Carolina.